Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you don't just look upon our lowliness, but you became lowly for us. We thank you, Lord, for being with us today. We thank you, Lord, that you abide with us and you change our lives. We give you glory and praise this day, our servant King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy, and the worship band. That was really good worship time. Really, really good. Lord was really present. Neil is going to come and speak to us now from 1 Corinthians 12, among other passages. So let's just pray for Neil as he comes up. I don't know if you need that, do you? Yeah. Let's just reach out our hands and pray for Neil. Father, we give you thanks for Neil. Lord, we give you thanks for all his work in preparing this talk for today, Lord, and in preparing our hearts, Lord, for what you have for us in the days and weeks to come. Lord, we're excited. We're excited to know more about the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and what you want to do in this community, Lord Jesus. So open our hearts today. Open our spirits today, Lord. Refresh and renew us, Lord, as Neil brings your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, that's a fantastic start to a passage and to a talk. And it's something that is really a core part of our life, but it's not something that we actually talk about in any real detail, at least in my experience. So I am actually going to go into a little bit of depth into what it means to be concerning and to be concerned about spiritual gifts. Can I have the first slide there? Thank you. And this is part of what God has spoken to us in last year. We're in the third term, as it were, or the third theme of what God spoke to us in 23-24 that Rebecca and Arthur articulated in July. And we're being faithful to that, and we're continuing to follow the Lord's guidance and direction in doing what we're doing. The best career advice I ever received was do what the boss tells you to do, okay? So that's what we're trying to do in our humanity and in our weakness. And he gave us three particular passages that Arthur and Rebecca spoke about in July. One from Luke 11, verses 9 to 12, and that is really, in summary, I actually wrote it, I think, also in the newsletter this week. What father among you would give a scorpion or a snake? And that is one of the messages that we want to, that God spoke to us last July and wants to speak to us again in these next few weeks. What father among you would not give wonderful gifts to his children and to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And then there was the passage from John 2, which is the wedding in Cana. And the particulars were when Jesus said to the stewards, fill the jars with water. Fill the pretty earthy, large, practical water jars with wine. And then in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, and I do recommend that you take a look at it. But basically, the last verse is, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So God's love has been poured out, as in those jars of water that would have been poured out onto people's feet and hands. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Oops, I'm going to try this. Hey, look at that. And just a little link to what we were doing just a few months ago. And we were looking at the Gospel of Mark, the first 10 chapters of Mark. And wasn't that wonderful? It was just a great journey with Jesus to the point, if you like, of entering Jerusalem. And then we will obviously carry through this week as we follow Jesus to the cross. But Jesus, the first thing that he said that's recorded in the Gospel of Mark, He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? It means, in English, it's within reach. Stretch out your arms. It's that close. And that was Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. It hasn't gone further away. It's got closer. The kingdom of God is in within reach, brothers and sisters. And we know that, and we continue to pray that, many of us, every day, when we pray the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And part of the manifestation of God's kingdom is the exercise and fruit of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that includes healing, deliverances, prophecy, miracles of nature, insight into people's thoughts and motivations, and a number of other gifts that I will refer to. That is part of the rule of God in this earth. And so by embracing them, we are answering the prayer that many of us pray every day, that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So these spiritual gifts that we will talk about and we will be praying, learning about and praying about on the 26th of April are really part of the prayer that we pray every day. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Further, when Jesus was resurrected and when he was just about to be ascended to the throne of God, he commanded his followers to go out to all nations, and there are many nations represented here, to all nations and preaching the gospel and bringing the kingdom to within reach of all of these nations. And so it's part of the Great Commission that we are exercising these spiritual gifts in our midst, and also hopefully with the benefit of others coming towards us and towards the Lord. And so I want to go into a little bit more depth, and I can't spend too much time here, but I wanted to really just talk a few things about 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, which are the lists of what are called the charismata, I'll get that in a minute. But there's another Greek word that's used, but certainly we know the word charismata because that's the origin of the charismatic renewal, and we're a charismatic community. So these gifts are really critical for us to really be part of what God wants us to be. So I think I'll do the next slide. Yes, there it is, isn't it? Those are the two Greek words. Pneumatikoi. And you can kind of relate that to the English. It's really breath. And charismata, which are gifts of grace. And the Apostle Paul teaches, and he's kind of giving them, basically giving the Corinthians and us some government and some detail so that we can exercise these gifts in the way that they're meant to be exercised in the assembly. And the assembly really is, in many senses, this community meeting. Now, concerning spiritual gift, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the fundamental step, and perhaps it's obvious, but it needs to be said, the fundamental step to be able to experience the Holy Spirit in our life, to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life, and to experience and exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life, is to repent and believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, was bodily resurrected on the third day, rose again, and ascended into heaven. We have to be Christians. We have to proclaim the truth of Christ and his ministry to be able to receive these gifts. And I would also say, brothers and sisters, and this is something that you know, perhaps is obvious to many, but not so obvious to some, and that is that we are invited to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the immersion in the Holy Spirit, which perhaps would have happened normally in the first century when an adult was baptized. And you look at the records in Acts, that was the normal pattern, although there are abnormal patterns in the Acts of the Apostles, which kind of prove the point that we do really need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well as the baptism in water to be able to exercise as these gifts. If you want to talk about that more, please let me know. I'll be happy to have some discussions and questions and answer sessions about that, and I'll get to that in a little while, because there may be more questions. So that is the fundamental, brothers and sisters. We actually do need to be Christians, and we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God wants every one of us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let's go into a little bit more detail in the rest of the passage. And I've highlighted a few things there. I'm not going to read this passage. I just want you to just look at what's highlighted and underlined. And this is one list. There's another list later on in 1 Corinthians 12, and then there's another list in Romans. And I'll just briefly show those to you as we go on. Paul lists 9 specific gifts. And then he also lists 6 further gifts. So 2 more in later in the chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. And then a further 6 in Romans chapter 12. All of these gifts are given for the benefit of the assembly, for the benefit of others. There's no reason for God to give these gifts for our personal benefit or for our personal aggrandizement or to make us famous. The only reason the Holy Spirit gives these gifts is for other people, for the common good. He gives these gifts to people that ask, that are willing to exercise those gifts for the benefit of other people. Not for their own benefit, but only for the benefit of other people. And why would we do that? Because we love each other as Christ has loved us. And that's the best, and I would say the only real successful motivation for seeking and using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we ask for them and that we exercise them with the heart's disposition, the deepest heart's disposition, to benefit the assembly, to benefit other members of, in our case, the Antioch community or other parts of the Sword of Spirit or our local churches or our families. But we're doing it out of the desire to benefit others. And that's what the Holy Spirit is really wanting us to see and to hear before we go into the particulars. But let's go into the particulars. So there are those that are listed in the first part of 1 Corinthians 12, which are on the screen there. Let me get my pages right. And you can see them. Let me just go through them. We've got a little pointer. Whoops, oh dear. You've got the utterance of wisdom. You've got the utterance of knowledge. I've actually got a picture of the slide here. Got the utterance of knowledge. You've got faith. You've got gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and various kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And those are the gifts that are listed there in that particular passage. If we go on. Oops, that's the Romans 8 passage, I think. There are a couple of others that are listed later on in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about... Where is it? Let me go to the Bible. That's probably a better place to go. The other two in 1 Corinthians 12 are teaching and workers of miracles. So those are the two others that are in addition to the first passage. And then we go on to Romans 8, which I think is there, yeah. But to those who think with sober judgment. And again, this is critical to understanding how to exercise the spiritual gifts. We need to, because ultimately, and this is part of the dynamic of God's relationship with us, ultimately, we are in control. We choose to exercise these spiritual gifts. We choose to let them die as well. And we choose to grow with them, and we choose to enhance them in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God will not take us over. He doesn't take us over. We are in control of the exercise of these spiritual gifts. And therefore, he encourages us in his word to use sober judgment. That's a very English phrase, sober judgment. That means good judgment. It means balanced judgment. It means that we are actually in control, but we are in control and we are only doing it for the benefit of others. We're not doing it for our own benefit. So it just repeats the message of 1 Corinthians 12. And there are a few other, there's another few gifts that are highlighted in this passage in Romans 8. Those of service, teaching I've already referenced, exhortation, those who contribute, those who lead, and those that do acts of mercy. So I've done this calculation. I think there are 17 distinct gifts that are in these passages. Some commentators would say that there are what I call ministries or appointments. They're called appointments in 1 Corinthians 12, which are the overseers, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, and the apostles. I'm suggesting in this context at least that I'm not sure they are gifts, they are appointments by God. Obviously the individuals that are appointed to those roles hopefully do have the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're referring to today. But nonetheless, I'm really going to focus our time on the 17 gifts in those two passages. And when you look at that list, it's an extensive list, right? Incredible list. It's not, you know, a GCSE, right? It's not even an A-level. It's not even a degree. It's an incredible list of gifts that God wants to pour out into our hearts by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to ask. Now, I've done this word study, and I don't have time to go into the detail of it. And I've got 20 copies, I think, and I'm very happy to give those to you. They'll be at the back, and if you want to ask me for some, please do. And I've gone into some detail referencing various commentaries in my tradition and also going back into the ancient Greek in terms of the website that I use. And it goes into more detail to give a little bit more explanation of what those words mean. And I'm going to send it out by email later on, either later tonight, depending upon what happens at the meeting that we have tonight, but if not, certainly by tomorrow. And it's really a way of trying to help you understand a little bit more detail about what these words mean. And I'm hoping that you find it useful. I certainly did. And it's not something that we've actually focused on in any level of detail for a long time. And so it's worth taking the time in these next 2 weeks to really get to know what these gifts are so that you can ask. But we have the day on the 26th of April, and we're going to focus actually on a subset of those 17 gifts, and I'll explain why. And those are the gifts of prophecy, healing, words of knowledge, and discernment of spirits. And I'll explain a little bit more about the interplay and why I've chosen those to particularly focus on that day. But we will have an opportunity to ask for others as well. And it is up to us. God gives us control. We can ask. So please do respond with hope and faith that God will answer your requests for these gifts because you want to serve the brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I think on your seats, if I go to the next slide, there is a piece of paper. I'm sorry, this is very old tech. And there are some pens on your seats as well. These are the four workshops that we've planned on the 26th of April. And we have folks coming in, flying in, to help us with those topics. And they will be giving a seminar, approximately 45 minutes, mixture of content, discussion, questions and answers, and then prayer. And so we've constructed it in a way that there's four to choose from, but we really have only got time for you to do three, sadly. So please take the time in the next few minutes, certainly if you could by the end of the meeting, to tick. Put your name, that's important, put your name, but also tick what you want to attend. And then we will try and, well, we will schedule you in to the three that you want to attend on the 26th of April. And they're going to be wonderful. They're going to be great. And they're going to really enhance our life together. But let me explain why I've selected and we've selected those four. We live in a world with very loud and confusing and deceptive voices. It really, I mean, just to show that Google poll, right? How on earth would Google not put Jesus in the top 10? There are 3 billion, maybe even 4 billion people that have some claim as Christians. I don't think Elon Musk has got contact with 4 billion people, right? So that's how distorted the messages are in this world. And therefore, we really do need to hear God's voice. Yes, and absolutely, always the scriptures always will prevail. But I think he's also given us the opportunity to give us a little bit more focus, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more depth through the gifts that we are focusing on. The gift that we're asking folks to consider is the gift of prophecy. And prophecy is not preaching. I think actually exhortation, which is one of the other gifts, is preaching. Preaching also includes teaching, but it's not prophecy. And certainly my tradition has perhaps made that mistake in saying that preaching is prophecy. Well, actually it's not. This is a particular utterance given to an individual in the assembly that is a sense from God normally and often refers to scripture, just like we have today. But also, I would encourage a desire to speak in the name of the Lord. So yes, it's absolutely right that we refer to scripture. But also, seek the Lord for words that you think he wants to say to us in the first person. And so those are the loud, that was the voices that we need to hear. We need to hear on Sunday. We need to hear, obviously, through the rest of the week as well. That's why I've chosen prophecy. I've chosen to understand and to explore and to receive and use the gifts of the words of knowledge. And in our experience, those words of knowledge are supernatural. They're not just general human knowledge, human wisdom. They are given by God to help us understand what God wants to speak to us in our lives. And that goes alongside prophecy. And there are different ways that the words of knowledge work, but one of them that we've used in the past is that people pray before the meeting and they say, we think God wants to heal people that have got a pain in their left foot. And that's the kind of thing that God wants us to use. So that people are invited, because God speaks to somebody who doesn't know your situation and invites you to be healed. And therefore, the third opportunity and the third gift that we want to explore in perhaps a bit more detail in these seminars is the gift of healing. That God heals today. God heals supernaturally. Yes, of course, I'm very grateful for the NHS. I've had a bit of an experience with the NHS. They panicked. I didn't panic. They analysed, they poked and prodded, and there was no panic, okay? But doctors are not always right. They get it wrong. God does not get it wrong, okay? And he cares for every single part of our life. including, and many of us are broken, hurting, damaged by pain and disease, trauma and disappointment. This is not just physical healing. This is mental and spiritual as well. And God wants to touch our lives. Maybe he prompts it through prophecy. Maybe he prompts it through words of knowledge. And that's why they're all interfaced. And then the last, which I think is actually the one that I'm intrigued most by on that list, and perhaps is the one that we need to learn perhaps a bit more about as well, and that is the discernment of spirits. And we believe as Christians that there is more than one spirit that is influencing our life. There's our human spirit that is essentially looking after ourselves. That's what the human spirit, the human instinct is, self-preservation and self-propagation. And some of that human spirit is perfectly normal, and some of it takes us the wrong direction. The other spirit that we are influenced by is the evil spirits, the evil one and his spirits that are abroad. And they are seeking to undermine our faith. They are seeking to undermine the confidence that we have in God, the confidence that we have in our leaders. And sometimes that's well-founded. But the spirit will really wish to distract and to reduce our listening to the correct voices. And so the gift that we do certainly need to experience more of is the gift of discerning for ourselves, but also in the way that we exercise the gifts in the assembly, in the way that we talk amongst ourselves in our sharing groups. What is the Spirit saying to us? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us what we are hearing, what we are seeing, and what media we are focused on? So those are the reasons why I've chosen those four gifts. They're actually interfaced. There are others that we will go into, at least in prayer, if not in detail. So I'm really encouraging you all to look at that list of 17, which will be available at the back and through electronic means later. And I'm suggesting to you that you choose three. Why only one? And maybe I'd point that at me as well. So my testimony, and I am an older fellow, I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit actually at my local church in the small town I came from. And then I came up to London to university. And then I came into contact with the origin of Antioch. And then I went on a Life in the Spirit seminar. And many people have had gone on through the Life in the Spirit seminar, which is when we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you're encouraged to ask for a gift. I asked for the gift of prophecy. I believed I received it. I have exercised it in the past. I have neglected that gift at times in my life as well. Sometimes I've considered, nah, God didn't give that to me. I just rely on the Bible. Why should I bother? People don't like what I say. And so you start to neglect the gifts of God. Now, hopefully, God is gracious enough to give those, to reinstate those gifts if you ask him. And he certainly has with me in the recent past. The other thing that I asked for, which is part of my character as well, is for zeal. And that's one of the words that comes through the term exhortation. That the Greek word is actually an element of zeal. Zeal means a real ambition for the purposes of God. Zeal for thy house consume me. And I don't think I've actually exercised that prayer very often. But it is part of the call that you have when you are given the gift of exaltation and of of really calling people on in the Christian faith. So I've only really asked for two. So I'm really short. I need to ask for more. I must confess, I struggle with the faith for some of these gifts, to be able to exercise those gifts myself. And maybe that, it is my sin. It's my intellect. It's my, if you like, my lack of faith in God, that he can overcome my weaknesses, he can overcome my intellect, and give me further gifts for the benefit of the assembly, not for my benefit, but for the benefit of the assembly. And maybe, and many of us have gone through that same journey, that we've in the past asked for specific things. Maybe you've neglected them. I would suggest to you, ask again, and God will reveal those gifts to you again. But don't hold on to the gifts that you've already got. Ask for more. Ask for more. Because surely the presence of God in our midst, surely the kingdom of God in reach, is when people see and when we see these gifts exercised with sober judgment, but exercised in the assembly, in our lives, in our sharing groups. That is the kingdom of God within our grasp. So, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you as we approach the 26th of April. We've definitely got somebody that's coming along to, you know, to really think and pray as we approach Holy Week and Easter Week. And go with Christ, yes, of course, to the cross, but also go with Christ to the resurrection. Go with Christ to the ascension. Go with Christ to Pentecost. And all the provision that he's given to us to receive and exercise these gifts for the benefit of the assembly. And we can say with all of our hearts, and there's a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Maybe I've got a slide on that. And it's stated in a rhetorical question. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, well, does the spirit of Jesus Christ that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you? Yes. And he has raised you with Christ, and he lives with us in our mortal bodies, and his spirit dwells in us. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. So these gifts, these givings of gifts, are pretty easy for the Holy Spirit to do. He raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The power to reverse death was given to Jesus and therefore given to us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. These are quite easy compared to that. We just have to have the faith for them. We just have to ask, and we have to want to exercise them for the benefit of the common good. So will you ask for more? Will you ask? And I'm sorry for folks that can't come on the 26th of April. Maybe there's another way that we can do this. But please ask in your prayer times, in your sharing groups, if you can't make it on the 26th of April. All members and all companions are very welcome. We just need to know the numbers. Let me leave it there. And really encourage you to take the next few weeks to really pray into what God has for you and therefore for us on the 26th of April. Thank you. Thank you, folks.